Hello and welcome. My name is Kevin Entwistle, and I will be your host today on Your Story is Our Story. We are jumping right into today's episode as I'm sitting beside former two times D1 national hockey champion and current CEO and founder of Walk On Holdings, Brooks Dyroff. Twice, Brooks earned All Hockey East academic honors in 2009 and 10 and 2010 and 11, and was the recipient of the 2011 Hockey Humanitarian Award as co-founder of CEO for Teens, a nonprofit organization which offers educational opportunities to teens in third world countries. Also not to be overlooked, he's from the same town as my wife, Boulder, Colorado. Before we begin, here's a snapshot of the four can't-miss topics you can expect out of today's conversation. The pregame skate, CEO for Teens, a winner's mentality, and how Brooks decided to leave corporate America. Brooks, we are so thankful to have you with us today.
Kev, what an intro. Thanks for having me.
Of course, we're stoked. So we usually kick off this podcast with a little bit about your background. And I'm sure our audience would love to hear one question we love to start with is, there's usually an individual profound moment growing up in your life. I'm sure it has to be around hockey or something of that nature. Can you share with us, a moment that really kind of got you started as who you are?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think, as you alluded to, I'm from Boulder, Colorado. I think my environment had a big impact on me. You know, that's everything from kind of the entrepreneurial vibe of the city to even my parents and my friends. There's no one profound moment, but my parents are my heroes. They have some really cool stories themselves. Even guys like my best friend, Kenny Haysfield, has gone on to start his own business. So it's contagious back home. And I've always felt that. So I would say, again, it's just growing up back in a really, really cool city out west.
And what did you learn about yourself growing up? You know, what were you like in school? What kind of a person were you?
Let's see. I think school wasn't something that I absolutely loved until probably junior year. And I credit a lot of that to my time at Andover, actually. I left Boulder and went back east to a prep school in Boston. And that's when I actually truly began to love learning. And I think from there, I just kind of got interested in a bunch of different things, started reading more, trying to connect the dots. And that's something I still carry on to today.
And did you know at this point that hockey was this kind of the move to Andover for hockey? Was this something you were pursuing?
Yeah, so hockey is one of my first true loves. My dad played, my grandfather played. When I was playing back home, I was playing at some top levels with really good guys. The year right before I left for Andover, I was driving an hour and a half each way, 6 days a week to South Denver. And it was awesome. I had a great experience, but I knew that was potentially not manageable for another year or two. So I started looking at other paths, one of which was the USHL, which is a junior team, and the other, which is prep school. I actually only applied to two prep schools, and one of them was Andover. Did not get into the second one, so I kind of had one choice left. And that's how I made the move out east.
And you're far too humble, but for those who don't know, Andover is one of the most prestigious academies, right? Especially up in the Northeast.
I will say it's slightly better than Exeter, and that's kind of all I have to offer.
Humble brag needs to be thrown in.
It was a really great place. I honestly don't know how I got accepted. I met a ton of great people who are much smarter than I am. I love keeping in touch with them, and it was a really, really fun 2 years before I went to BC.
Amazing. And I want to jump into CEO for Teens in a moment, but just beforehand, can you give us one last remark on Andover itself? And you mentioned back in the days with Kenny, this entrepreneurial spirit. Did you have any of that back in school, or was it, you know, much more focused on hockey? Where were you?
I think that was one of the things that Andover offered me, was the opportunity to do both. I was very focused on hockey, but at the same time, they were really supportive of everything that I was doing with CEO for Teens. I hopped into the microfinance club at school. That was an incredible way just to kind of get some exposure to, micro debt. That's the thing. I've always been interested in a lot of other things outside of hockey. And I think that Andover was a perfect place for me to kind of, again, meet people, talk about different things, hear about different backgrounds, and just kind of continuously learn.
Let's stay with that thought there too. And moving on to CEO for Teens, this show is all about entrepreneurs, as you know, and really nicely with your story, philanthropists. So let's keep with that thought. And I'm curious how this whole thing of CEO for Teens came about. And maybe you can take all of 30 seconds to explain exactly what it is.
Sure. So CEO for Teens, a lot of the credit goes to Kenny. He had been going over to Bali, Indonesia, which is where we ended up sponsoring students for a one-year computer and English skills class. He asked me after a trip to see his grandmother there if I want to get involved and do something on the ground. And I said, sure. And it evolved into this incredible experience that we've been able to share with one another. I think to date, we've been able to raise really good amount of money to sponsor students in Indonesia. We started a program in Boston, and it's been just really, really fun to keep up as well.
And there was also an award that was awarded to yourself back in college. Do you want to just quickly explain as well what that was all about? It's pretty impressive.
Yeah. The Hockey Humanitarian Award was something that, again, I felt blessed to have received. I received it in 2011, and it was just for a lot of the stuff that, you know, I represented, but it wasn't a one-man show. I think it was a cool culmination for both Kenny and I, our families, and kind of everyone who supported us. It just helped us raise awareness and more money. So, you know, I guess I was the vector of the award, but I truly felt like there was more people who shared it than just myself.
And at the end of the day, a question that, you know, a lot of us ask ourselves in reflection, was it worth it?
Yeah, it was totally worth it. Again, I'm harping on a lot of the same subjects, but I was able to meet a lot of really, really insanely fascinating and kind people, not only in Indonesia, but in South Boston, where to this day we continue to run a GED scholarship program. And there's just a lot of really good people out there, and they work incredibly hard. And that was one of the things that I kind of took away from this whole experience is to try to find your passion and figure out what motivates you and gets you up in the morning. And, you know, that was really, really cool for me to see at a young age.
Well, there's no doubt you have a great spirit about yourself with, you know, you're building your network, you're going through school, you're, you know, offering your time to people who need help. So it's very admirable. And then kind of transitioning now to the meat and potatoes of today's episode, Walk-On Holdings. Do you want to take a minute and explain the umbrella parent kind of style of the company, the breakout?
Yeah, so Walk-On Holdings is exactly that. It is an umbrella company for some digital media brands that I own and operate. The three under this kind of parent holding company right now are Tag the Flag, The Street Sheet, and Pregame Skate. I'm sure we can go into kind of all of those, but for the time being, I'm trying to find synergies across each, keep the brands narrow in some respects too, and, you know, build the following, build engagement, and really drive home kind of this new media take on how I think people can interact with brands.
Sure, and I'm sure you're very well attuned with the news these days. A lot of changes going on. What's kind of driving all of this, you know, appetite for digesting news in new ways?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you and I could probably sit here and talk for hours about that. I think to some extent, our attention spans have gotten a little bit shorter. You even see that with just complete applications like Snapchat. You see that with things inside other apps like stories on Instagram. And so I think it's about delivering information to an audience kind of as quick and concisely as possible, and also making it fun, witty, interesting to read so that they feel like sharing it. And that's always tricky. You know, I had a background on Wall Street, and when I was working at JP Morgan and Blackstone, people always gave me a hard time about being an English major, but it actually seems to be kind of coming back to help me in some respect.
Why is the work so important? You know, I've heard you, one, I guess I would mention I've listened to some of your shows, I've read through some of your materials, and it's got this nice fluid easy way to read through the news, which I really like. But why is the work so important to you? I know you've mentioned before, you know, your patriotism and your respect for a lot of this news that you're providing.
Right. Yeah, no, and I'm glad you're enjoying it. I think one of the brands, in fact, the one that I started with, Tag the Flag, is really important to me because I see what's going on with our country right now, and it just kind of eats me up. I think that the media would have everyone think that we're a lot more divided than we really are. The goal with Tag the Flag and the newsletter is to kind of highlight both sides so that we can show perspective across the thought spectrum. I think when there's perspective, there's appreciation. And when there's appreciation, you are kind of coming from a place of a little bit of a better place, you know, as you start discussions that can sometimes be very tense, be very divisive. And that's okay. Not everyone has to agree with one another. That's the best part about our country is, you know, the First Amendment. You have the right to freedom of speech. You have the right to expression. And I think that's fantastic. I think we just have to stop yelling at ourselves and each other so much and try to find some common ground and then respect where we actually don't agree with one another all the time.
And I love the idea too of taking, or maybe not taking, but understanding both sides, right? So many people talk about it, but I think it's really nice in these, again, digestible chunks, the way that your articles are written. I'm curious where you source your information.
Yeah, we source it from everywhere. We try to source it from obviously the right and the left, but sometimes even like the far right and the far left. And you know, that's just to at least hopefully bring people out of their echo chambers for a minute to see what the other side is thinking, talking about, discussing. It doesn't mean that it's always right. It just means that you should have some exposure to it. You know, there's even arguments within families sometimes that get very tense. Again, it's all about broadening perspective, empathizing with one another, understanding that it's okay to disagree, and just coming at different discussions and dialogues from a place of respect for your kind of fellow citizen.
And I love the idea of, you know, I still read the Wall Street Journal and some other articles as well, but I love the idea of now adding this habit, this routine to my morning. Again, routine. It's another spin. It's another perspective. And I think it's important for us to open up to those types of new materials.
Yeah, agreed. And I'm the same way. I'm a little bit of a news junkie. I love the Wall Street Journal. I love a lot of other newsletters as well. I mean, I think they do a good job. I just haven't found one that's doing what we're trying to do on a daily basis with Tag the Flag. The other thing that we do is curate, you know, what I think is beautiful social media channels of just the American flag. And some people ask, like, I don't understand how the newsletter connects to the flag and the Instagram. And we're just like, look, the one thing that is supposed to unite us all is the American flag. That's something we should be proud of. And so that goes back to kind of the ethos of the newsletter and the company, which is, look, we're not as divided as maybe you think we are. Here's one symbol that kind of highlights that on a daily basis.
Well, the culture seems really strong with what you guys are putting out there. So kudos to that. How about a little bit about strategy? In your mind, what is going to dictate success?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think there's certain metrics that I want to try to hit and focus on just from subscriber growth. You know, that obviously helps us appeal to certain advertisers that can help us keep the lights on. I think, though, that this truly is a mission-driven company, meaning like I'm concerned about being able to pay the bills, but at the end of the day, if we can get people talking just a little bit more with one another who may be someone they don't disagree with or kind of lower the volume of some of these discussions, I think it's just better for the long-term health of the country. Is it the ultimate solution? Probably not, but it's at least a starting point. And I think that's kind of what we're aiming for right now.
And I'm going to cheat over to the hockey side a little bit, pregame skate, just for kicks for a minute. I've yet to have the opportunity to listen to Kevin Rooney's episode. He's a fellow PC Friar, so I'm really stoked about that. Walk our audience a little bit through what you're doing in that vertical.
Yeah, so Rooney's did a really good job. We've had the chance to talk to bunch of guys, and it's been so fun. For me, when I was working in Blackstone, working at Blackstone in London, I would come back home to Boston, to Denver, to New York, and I would see some of my buddies, and I would be completely out of the loop in terms of what's going on in the hockey world. And so I actually started looking for a hockey newsletter. I really couldn't find any that had the similar format that I like with Tag the Flag, kind of short, sweet, to the point, gives you what you need to know so you can move on with your day. So we wanted to create that. And then at the same time, what I wanted to try, and I think we're doing a good job at, is actually bring live conference calls, which is something I haven't really seen done too much, but as an extra addition to this media property. So the idea for that is if you were, you know, an investor in Facebook, you can actually hop on a call with Mark Zuckerberg and, you know, hear analysts ask him questions. We wanted to do that same thing with hockey players and have them talk about themselves and then give you the chance to actually ask them questions.
Because hockey players are just like everybody else, right?
Hockey players are just like everybody else. Good, they're good guys and you know, they're pretty funny a lot of the times. And I think that, you know, if you are a hockey fan or you're from a hockey family, I truly think you would enjoy this. And, you know, it's probably coming across as really salesy right now, but I honestly think if something like this existed when I was growing up in Colorado and I was 10 years old and watching guys like Joe Sakic and Peter Forsberg.
Wow, Patrick those names.
Yeah, I think that, you know, this is something I would have loved even from a player development standpoint, being able to ask these guys questions and kind of hear their thoughts on the game. So that's what we're trying to do. Again, we're trying to spread the word about that one as well. It has a really, really engaged following right now.
And Brooks, so. I want to be so obvious to the audience too. Like, this is not going on anywhere else. Like, I listen to Spittin' Chiclets. Yeah. This isn't what Spittin' Chiclets does. They interview the interviewee. You're opening it up to people. It's amazing.
Exactly. And I love Spittin' Chiclets. Like, those guys are hilarious. I listened to an episode on the walk up here. And so, yeah, it's slightly different from what those guys do. They do kind of traditional interview format podcasting. We really want to try to kind of bring you into the room as well. And to your point, yeah, that's exactly it. Like, it's kind of, we're branding it as a live event that you can attend from anywhere for relatively low cost. So
amazing. I want to get back to the strategy too. Curious how the three different verticals, like how much time you spend in each, where you're seeing the most subscriber base.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one I get a lot. I would say, with Tag the Flag, we also sometimes cross-post with our other newsletter, The Street Sheet. And the reason for that is Tag the Flag is a Monday through Friday newsletter. The Street Sheet is a once-a-week Sunday newsletter. Sometimes we'll drop a note in the Friday edition of Tag the Flag that if people are, you know, interested in reading more in terms of what's happening on Wall Street, what's going on in the worlds of finance and business, that they can sign up to The Street Sheet and kind of have a great read Sunday. Vice versa, if there's anything that may be impacting the business world, let's say it's US-China trade negotiations and that's somewhat political, they can hop back into Tag the Flag's newsletter and kind of understand both sides of the argument. So we do cross-post, and then in terms of how they all three fit together, there's little teeny things that we learn from each of them that we say, okay, great. Like, this worked with this brand. Let's think about applying it to another one as well.
Good point. And also would love to know, you come from a corporate background. What are your team meetings like when you sit down and brainstorm or strategize? How many people are on your team, and how do you guys, you're sitting in a, you know, in a suit today, which I'm highly impressed. But do you work out of coffee shops? Like, where are your team meetings held?
Yeah, so we're pretty small still, and a lot of this work is done over the phone. It's done over Zoom. I try to keep certain things on the calendar every week just to keep a routine. I think structure is insanely important for someone potentially thinking about starting their own thing. And so we try to keep things regular. I have calls, you know, every Monday morning to just kind of jumpstart the week. You know, one on Wednesdays to check in with kind of independent sales contractors.
And do you write yourself?
Yeah, I do some of the writing. And that's something that I actually truly love. And that's some of the stuff that we contract out. And that's one of the things with this, I guess I've heard it actually been branded as the passion economy. It used to be the gig economy, and now it's kind of transforming into the passion economy. But a lot of the stuff you can actually contract out, which is nice. Down the road, I want to get an office. I want to have a team that's a little bit bigger than we are right now. I want to, you know, have ups and downs with more people than just kind of the immediate crew. And I think that would be something that's really fun to work towards.
And how, I just want to ask one last question too. I meant to ask it before, but how do you reach out to these players? I know some of them are in the NHL, some of them.
It's a great question. We are fortunate enough to know some of them just through our time in the sport. The editor for Pregame Skate, Parker Milner, actually plays professionally still for the Washington Capitals organization. You know, he's met a lot of guys. He's a really great networker. He's an awesome food writer, by the way. So if you ever get the chance to go down to Charleston, make sure you check out Eater Charleston for Parker Milner's articles, because he's done a fantastic job with that. So,
nice plug.
Yeah, great plug. And so, yeah, to your point, we kind of do everything. We reach out to our network, see if they can connect us to other players. We've even actually reached out to some guys on Instagram. We had an awesome call with Curtis Gabriel. He was talking about Hockey is for Everyone initiative, and that was this past summer. And so I think that's the thing. If you reach out, sometimes you don't hear a response, but a lot of times you do, and guys are more than willing to help.
And it sounds like the conversations are, you know, it's not just about forechecking and backchecking. There's some pretty interesting conversations being had.
Totally, yeah. These kind of branch outside of hockey as well and talk about their backgrounds, what they're passionate about now. And that's, again, to, you know, one of the earlier points I made about what I enjoyed about Andover is like, okay, here's a sport that we all know, we all love. I want to talk about it. I want to talk about scores. I want to talk about any drama going on within the game. But like, by the way, what else are you working on? Like, what's keeping you busy? What's keeping you up at night? That type of stuff.
I want to spend a few more minutes on this, and then we'll get into some entrepreneur questions in general. Our audience enjoys those a lot. But just thinking about, so your strategy, I would love to learn a little bit more about, you've mentioned in the past wanting to potentially look into mergers and acquisitions. How are you going to, I know you've mentioned growing through subscription base. How do you see your company overall though growing? Is it like more organic?
So great question. I specifically chose Walk-On Holdings as somewhat of a vague umbrella company name, not quite with the Walk-On part. That's for a very specific reason, but the Holdings company is just something that I saw through my time working on Wall Street. That's what I saw other entrepreneurs kind of have as their bank account names and stuff like that. So it means that right now I want to focus on building out this media arm of Walk-On Holdings. I also do love the idea of real estate. It's something I want to get back into down the road. And so I think this allows me to kind of have like a broad mandate.
And I have to ask too, what do your parents say? What do your friends say, maybe more importantly?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes people are like a little confused that I left to write a quote unquote newsletter, and that is totally fair. I get it. I think, like I said, it means a lot to me from a mission standpoint, but then there's a lot that's going on behind the scenes that people don't really understand until we have the chance to sit down and talk and just kind of tell them what I'm up to.
You're running a company.
Yeah.
Is what you're up to.
Yeah. And I think it's scary and it could absolutely have its bumps, but that's something that I'm really, really excited about and trying to learn from those experience. And so, it's been interesting conversations, but actually for the most part, I've had more people reach out to me about what I'm doing now than my first 5 years out of school.
People it causes attention.
Yeah.
People are curious.
And sometimes I have trouble with that. I'm not the best about talking about myself. That's why these things are helpful and just trying to spread the word, hopefully, about what I'm up to. But that's the thing. Actually, people are curious. And to my point about even having a guy like Curtis Gabriel on Pregame Skate, there, I've had so many people reach out to help. So I want to try to return the favor too at some point.
And as a hockey player too, our coaches, you know, before puck drop, everybody talks about styles of leadership. And there's the quiet leader, the vocal leader, lead by example, right? You've heard it so many times. Which one are you?
That's a tricky question. I would say from the three you just mentioned, potentially the lead by example. I'll be vocal, I guess, when things need to be said, and you can be quiet when people understand certain mistakes that they've made. Like that's the thing. And it's trying to read those conversations or read those emotions and kind of have that EQ. Still always working on that myself, but.
And Jerry York would agree with this statement.
I hope. Coach York was an incredible guy to play for 4 years. I believe he's getting inducted into potentially the Hockey Hall of Fame here, like next week. So big shout out to Coach, and he's been so successful. He's someone I want to emulate, you know, in my own career. And he was a lot of fun to learn from.
And how about mistakes you've started to learn? Obviously, you've been doing this for a little while now.
Yeah, I'm actually, one of the tricky things about being an entrepreneur, especially on a small team, is you don't have, whether it's like quarterly or year-end reviews. That's something that I remember I used to, quite frankly, hate in the corporate world. But at the same time, now that I'm not in a position to fill those out anymore, I actually understand the importance of them. So right now, I'm actually kind of trying to audit myself in a sense and realize, okay, here are things like going into 2020 that I can work on, hold a mirror up to yourself, and actually ask candidly for feedback from people that I work with and work for me. And then also from, you know, other vendors, just be like, hey, is this partnership as good as like I think it is? Like, is there anything that I can work on? I'm just trying to get better and
self-improvement, right?
Asking all that
questions.
Stuff. Yeah. So that's been one of the trickiest things, is to just, again, like, hold a mirror up to yourself, be real with what you need to work on, because I feel like that's the only way you're going to get from, you know, point A to point B, point B to point C, so on and so forth.
And mentorship is so important with entrepreneurs, right? Is there somebody maybe that isn't your mentor right now, but you wish, like, almost a role model that you have and want to emulate?
That is a fantastic
question. Always a tough
question
to put you on the spot with.
Yeah, that's a great question. I've been super fortunate to have a really cool network of mentors, like super, super cool. I don't know how I met some of these people, quite honestly, but they've agreed to have coffee with me. And I've asked them, I said, look, I kind of just need a little bit of guidance from time to time. Would you be open to having me bounce ideas off of them? I will say, one of my biggest mentors is just my dad. He started his own company back in Boulder. He's someone that I've looked up to ever since I can remember. And he has some tough love. Like, there's some ideas that I come to him with, and he tells me, it's like, this, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And yeah, and it's good. It's good to hear, because you need that. And but then there's some that he really pushes and like a lot of what I'm doing right now truly believes in. And so I think that's been helpful as well.
It seems like a lot of, again, very, very humble person. A lot of your characteristics are derived from your family upbringing, from Colorado, time spent with Kenny. What are you hoping to instill in other people? You've gotten a lot of lessons from them and continue in mentorship. What are you trying to help with others?
I would say for other people maybe thinking about doing their own thing, do it. And especially if you're young. I mean, that was one of the things, that be smart about it, be calculated, maybe test something out. Some of these things were side hustles for a little while until I fully figured out, okay, this is at least an idea of the vision that I want to try to make reality. But kind of back to what I was saying, when I left Blackstone, one of the reasons that I told some of my bosses I was leaving is because I'm young enough to make a mistake. And even if all else fails, I feel like I will have been kind of in like a business school for almost 2 to 3 years. And so they were great. They totally got it. I didn't leave with any bad blood. In fact, I'm meeting up with a couple of them later today. And so I think that's one of the things, like, if I can just give someone the nudge, if they've maybe been thinking about it, like, be smart, ask people for feedback, and don't be afraid to hear potentially bad feedback, because that might end up helping you get closer to what is a good idea. But
if you're going to ask for feedback, be open.
Open. Just be open. And that's the whole thing, even with Tag the Flags newsletter, right? Not to kind of bring it back to that, but just be open and receptive to different ideas, especially if they're hard to hear sometimes. So that's it. Just giving the nudge to someone who might want to do their own thing. It's a really gratifying experience, and it's cool to have authorship over something and ownership over it as well.
Well, I'm looking forward to the continued success and where you guys are headed. So I will certainly be staying tuned, and I hope our audience will as well.
Thanks so much, Kev. I appreciate you having me on today.
Of course. And can you give us a quick rundown before we jump off? I'm a Boston Bruins fan. What's going on? 4 losses in a row?
You know, I can't speak to the bees, but I watched the Rangers game last night and almost threw the remote at the television, because I think they lost like 9-2 or something.
Welcome
against
to New York right now, yeah.
So the Rangers are my team. I also love following the Pittsburgh Penguins, and those guys have a little bit of a battle in front of them as well, because Sidney Crosby looks like he's out here for a little while. So Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, it's good to get hot in the second half of the year. So there's still a lot of things shaking out right now. But yeah, what a game.
He
can so
peak
fun.
At the right time, of course.
He can peak at the right time. It's good.
Well, Brooks, thanks so much for being here. And thank you all for tuning into this episode. Please feel free to leave a comment or tag a friend who might be interested in learning more. If anyone is interested in hearing more about Brooks, be sure to check out his company website, walkonholdings.com, or find him on social media. He has so much more to share. Have a great day, and we will be back with more entrepreneurs and philanthropists soon. Thanks for listening.